You are Locked On College Football, your daily podcast on all things college football. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes. Welcome on into Locked On College Football. It's Tuesday. I mean, you're stuck with us. I'm Zach Blackerby, host of Locked On Auburn. Joined yet again, this reunion shall be so sweet. Isaiah Hole, Locked On Wolverines. How are you? Missed you last week.
You know what? You opened the show saying yes. Maybe we should open it saying no. Because we don't have college football for so long. And I'm back from Disney, which is why I wasn't here last week.
How was that, by the way?
Incredible.
Good.
And I hate being back.
Sure.
So I hate having to talk to you today. Not that I hate you.
No, I get it, man. I want
to be riding an Avatar Flight of Passage.
Sure. When you were riding a ride at any moment, did you think, oh, man, I missed out on recording Locked On College Football with Zach?
I did, and I know I did it on the wrong day because my days were completely screwed up while I was there.
Oh, okay.
And they still kind of are because Tuesday was my last day at the parks, and to me that felt like Wednesday because I started going to parks on Sunday. So it felt like the start of a work week.
I see.
So at some point on Monday, I was like, man, Zach's recording this podcast right now, which you weren't.
Got it.
And he's missing me right now, and you weren't. You're going about your life like a normal human person does.
On Monday, yeah. But Tuesday, I missed you a ton. Even though Gordy did a great job with Locked On SEC, he was always great to chat with. But today, we're going to talk about our way too early top 10 teams throughout college football. And our list looked different at the top, similar from 5 to 10. So this could be fun.
I hope so. Here's the thing that you realize when trying to take a too early look at this top 25 team.
No quarterbacks?
Because no quarterbacks.
Yeah.
No returning quarterbacks. And because that's important, right? And you look at what the teams were that went to the college football playoff this year. All four had returning quarterbacks. You look at a lot of them, from the that make it pretty much any year or are in the top 10. Most of them have returning starting quarterbacks. Now, there were some good teams that didn't have returning starting quarterbacks either this year, or you look at Justin Fields with Ohio State in 2019 making the playoffs. But I mean, that's kind of a different situation because you knew he was probably going to be pretty good as he transferred in, and you knew that he was going to be the starter. But otherwise, I mean, obviously we had to give some benefit of the doubt to some of those teams that are going to be starting new quarterbacks. But, I mean, that's what makes it really challenging because you look at a lot of these flash-in-the-pan types, maybe. You look at, like, Iowa State, Brock Purdy, gone. Mm-hmm. You know, like I wanted to put Iowa State up there. But at the same time, it's like, well, with Purdy gone and I believe Breece Hall is gone too, isn't he? You start having some issues as far as trying to really seeing that team replicate what they did this past year.
Of the big three, which the big three as far as Alabama, Ohio State, and Clemson, like you said, all losing their starting quarterbacks, very established quarterbacks, which of those is it the biggest deal for? My answer here is Clemson.
I'm pretty close to agreeing with you, but just because it didn't seem like – there's no way I can say his name. Uagulale. It does not seem like he was anywhere close to the same caliber when he came in last year especially compared to what Trevor Lawrence was, which I know that's an unfair comparison.
Hey, real quick, like, I think Purdy is coming back actually.
Oh, Purdy is coming back?
Yeah.
I searched and I thought I saw something with him at the Senior Bowl.
Maybe
I'm wrong.
I don't think so. And, Iowa State Daily writes that he's among a group of four that'll announce that they'll be returning for 2021. And I don't see any other articles saying that he's announced and he's gone. So,
okay. Well, that's his fault for not letting us know before we started this.
Well, we would put them at 11, so it doesn't matter.
Exactly. But yeah, I'm pretty close with what you were saying before. On Clemson. However, with Ohio State, like, we know nothing about C.J. Stroud, if he is indeed the guy.
Right. Great, so, great quarterback name, though.
Yeah. And I know that he, I mean, he's, we know he's probably pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan was after him. It seemed like Michigan was after him harder and longer than Ohio State was, but it wasn't like, it wasn't like this is our savior type guy. It was kind of when they started going after him, it was like, well, he would be a good one to add in addition to the quarterback that they had at the time who ended up having to medically retire before he got to campus. But
my big thing with a lot of these guys, like whoever is the quarterback at Ohio State, like with Olave coming back and then just other guys are going to step up and just the scheme that gets people wide open, I don't think it matters as much. With Clemson, I feel like Lawrence pulled them along the way. Now, the argument against that is Clemson's, like, their schedule outside of their game against Georgia just, it stinks. So they're going to lose to Georgia, and then they're going to win every other game, and they're going to backdoor themselves back into the playoff, probably the 4 seed, and they'll lose to whoever is the 1 seed. So, like, even though Clemson is going to be a good football team next year, when it all really matters when there's 4 teams left, I just don't think they're going to have quarterback play enough to keep up with all the other teams.
I think that might be true, except for the fact that I think that Clemson always, even with Lawrence at the helm, and we talk about Trevor Lawrence, they've had a stellar defense majority of the time under Brent Venables. Now, was it good against Ohio State or even the first meeting against Notre Dame? Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
But you know that team can ratchet it up defensively. And some of those games with Lawrence over the years, not just this year, but over the years, there are some games you'd see there where Clemson would win 30-20.
Right.
24-17. And you're sitting there saying, like, well, it's just Clemson played a good team, and, you know, not, you don't have to be on every week. But, like, Trevor Lawrence didn't always, for as good as he was, it wasn't like Clemson always went out there with Ohio State type scores, because it seems like Ohio State goes up against everybody and is like 50-3 every single week.
Right.
Clemson doesn't do that. Like Clemson gets to the point where they're ahead enough and then they might tack on one or two more. So I think that the way that Clemson plays football, its brand of football, will still work with Uiagalelei at the helm, as long as he can just, you know, manage to essentially just be a little bit more than a game manager.
No, I think that you're right.
Everything's intact for Clemson. I think you're right about Ohio State in the sense that they have not just Olave, but they have Garrett Wilson. They have Jackson Smith and Giba. Julian
Olave
Fleming.
Definitely the headliner, though, right? I mean, he was probably going to be a first-round pick, late first-round pick, and then he announced he's coming back.
For sure. But they, they just have a cod. Like I mentioned these other ones because they're all like 5 stars, and they're bringing in more 5 stars across the board. That said, I've seen firsthand from time to time here in Ann Arbor what bad quarterback play looks like. Sometimes it doesn't matter how good your receivers are at or even just injured quarterback play.
Did you just call out Shea Patterson?
No, I was about to say Shea Patterson was injured pretty much right out the gates in 2019. And he struggled with rotation.
Yeah, that was the problem. Yeah.
So with that in mind, it's harder to hit your deep threat in Nico Collins.
Right.
When you can't rotate fully.
Mm-hmm.
And the year before, Michigan wasn't really asking him to do what they were trying to ask him to do the next year. So I'm kind of speaking more of just some in generalities. When I say, like, I've seen bad quarterback play, it's been around here for pretty much since Chad Henne. So you can have great receivers. You can have top flight guys on the outside. You can have a guy that is a surefire, I can make things happen for you type receiver. If a quarterback can't be accurate, which I've seen plenty of that in my time here, it's not going to even matter.
No, I get it.
How open a guy is.
Today's show brought to you by our friends at rockauto.com. You hear us talk about these guys all the time. We love our friends at Rock Auto. Chain stores, they have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. Rockauto.com's prices, They're the same for everybody, and they're all reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car, your truck, or your SUV. And write Locked On College Football in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need. That's at RockAuto.com. All right, Isaiah, let's go through our way too early top 10 as we rank the what we think the top 10 should look like going into 2021. At 10, so the way we combine this list is we both made a top 10, and then we took the average of them all. So at 10, we have USC.
I think it's time. Finally.
You ready for it?
Yeah. I mean, no, I'm not. And I think that we're probably severely overrating USC. But yeah. They went 5-1 this last year. They were everything that everyone thought Oregon was going to be. I think that they've got the pieces in place. I think that 10 is probably their ceiling as well.
I agree.
Somewhere around 10.
I agree. At 9, we have Miami.
I mean,
this is more of a wishful thinking thing for me.
Why is that?
I think college football is better when Miami is good.
I agree. I want the old school U to be back. I want them to be dangerous.
Yeah.
I want them to get in trouble off the football field, and I want them to be crazy on the football field.
Or just have who was the quarterback under Rick? Was it Brad Kaya? Yeah, I want just Brad Kaya out there slinging the rock around, bro.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I want to go even before that. I want to go back to the Howard Schnellenberger days.
Oh yeah.
I don't want Brad Kaya. I want a quarterback that has no business being much of anything of a quarterback, but he's good enough because kind of like we said about Chris Olave, he's got guys out there on the outside that are so good that makes him look really good.
I understand that. Yeah. Who wins in a fight, Chris Olave or Brad Kaya?
Man, probably Brad Kaya.
He's got an extra A in his last name. I think that means something.
I like Chris Olave, but like the streets of Columbus coming from San Diego aren't as nearly as tough as wherever Brad Kaya came from.
I mean,
and then Brad Kaya got drafted by the Detroit Lions.
I mean, Brad Kaya is a hard dude. You don't mess with that guy.
Mm-mm. Not at all.
And number 8, Iowa. Gotcha. We have Iowa at number 8, and I think this is just kind of where they live.
Yeah, Iowa's one of those weird teams where like they're like really bad for about 4 years and then they're really good for two and the cycle repeats.
Right.
They ended up being one of the hottest teams in the Big Ten last year. Spencer Petras was really good for them at quarterback. They do lose Amir Smith-Marset, the wideout that was really good, but they basically bring back everybody else. So it's hard to see them taking a step backwards. This is the type of year that Iowa would probably be pretty good. And honestly, they were weirdly fun to watch last year. Like, they were doing things like throwing the football, making big dynamic plays. It wasn't just 3 yards in a cloud of dust. It was very confusing.
At number 7, we have Cincinnati. And they don't have Georgia on their schedule, so they should be okay.
Yeah. You know what? They were almost okay with Georgia on the schedule.
Almost, yeah. Like a field goal away.
Some better time management, and they would have been fine.
It's like they never played a close game that mattered until it was too late.
No, but you know, they got good news. They're bringing back Ritter, so they have the quarterback intact. They do lose some coaching elements to their team, but yep. I know that they're bringing in. I don't remember the name. They're bringing in a stud defensive coordinator, a young guy that's like a big rising star. I like what Luke Fickell's doing down there. I think they're going to be just fine. I think they'll be that top group of five, kind of in the UCF vein from a couple years ago.
Sure. Well, UCF, they just kind of picked up camp and moved to Tennessee. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I don't know what you're saying, but yeah, sure. Well, yeah, I guess, yeah, I do. Josh Heupel going to Tennessee, but I thought you were going to make you making like a joke.
No jokes.
It, but turns out no you're
jokes
being
at all.
Literal.
Which is weird because normally these days when people talk about Tennessee, it involves a lot of jokes. But no, I was just being serious. hired UCFC AD and their head coach. They even like shipped them from UCF to Knoxville in McDonald's bags.
You know what? Then I heard those McDonald's bags were up in the air literally at the same time that I was flying back from Michigan. So
there you go.
Yeah, left Orlando at the same time. Coincidence? I think not.
Yeah. All right. Number six, we have Indiana at number six. And I think I think we have them too low because home field is number one in our hearts.
It is number one in our hearts. And I got my newest home field hoodie yesterday.
Nice.
I bought a Slippery Walk one once the hoodies were back available. But I digress. Indiana, I think, has, I mean, so many things that you want and you need. They got the quarterback returning.
Yeah.
Michael Penix. They've got the top receiver returning in Ty Freifogel. Tom Allen's returning. There's some churn in the coaching staff. I believe Stevie Scott is done after his 18th year in the program, but I could be wrong because there is a new, you know, that there's the whole eligibility thing is preserved after mm-hmm. last year. So mm-hmm. who knows? He might come back for number 19 and 20.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, they were a fun team. They were a sound team. This was a team that I thought was going to be really good going into the season. I thought that they were going to beat either Michigan or Penn State. I didn't think they were going to beat both.
Right.
But
well,
I knew
Penn State
going
was
in
also
that
a lot
really
worse.
Good.
Penn State was also a lot worse than we thought.
They end up being all right in the end. So I think okay. I think Indiana broke them for a minute, and then they kind of figured out what they were again, because they won their last four. Of the season last year. So, yeah, 4-5, but they won their last four. They were in every game, but except for, I think, the Maryland and Iowa games. But,
all right.
Yeah. We'll Indiana, good.
We'll go through our top five in just a moment right here on Locked On College Football.
Are we ready for some football? Yeah, college football season is over, and we've got to wait a grueling, what feels like 3 years for it to come back. But guess what? We got one more game left on the horizon, and that's the Super Bowl with my unrequited best friend, Tom Brady, taking on a Kansas City Chiefs team that nobody cares about because they're playing Tom Brady. And you know what? If you want to bet on that game, there's only one place that has you covered and one place that we trust, and that's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag. Use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. You're definitely going to want to put the if you're going over under, go over in yards for Brady. And this isn't serious betting advice, so don't take it seriously. I'm just making jokes. Nonetheless, you're going to want to go ahead and get off those sidelines. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts.
All right, let's move into our top five, Isaiah. At number five, we have Clemson. You had Clemson at five. I had Clemson at four, so we're pretty close on this. And we kind of already talked about why we have them lower than some based on our conversation at the top of the show.
Right. Excuse me.
It's all good.
Clearly, with you at number four, with Clemson at number four, we can admit it, you're a Clemson homer. But
wow.
No, I mean, it's, I'm kidding.
Auburn people actually hate Clemson. That's a thing.
Really?
Auburn people feel like Clemson stole everything, all the ideas from them.
That makes sense.
And the reason that they are like Tigers and they are purple and orange instead of orange and blue, like Auburn is the legend has it is that Auburn like donated all their old practice stuff to Clemson. And, like, mm-hmm. the blue was faded, and it looked like a purple. And so that's what started their program.
Interesting.
There you go.
Which, now I see why you have them number four. They're like Auburn Light, except for – because Auburn, obviously, is going to be the number one here. I think we both can agree on that.
You said it, not me.
So, anyway, with Clemson, yeah, we talked about it. We don't need to talk about it more.
All right, and number four we have Ohio State. Ohio State was my three. Ohio State was your four. So we're close on that as well. And once again, I think we touched on that a little bit as well.
Yeah, they lost a lot of pieces outside of just Justin Fields. So that's kind of where, you know, you look like they've got some guys. Master Teague's back, but Trey Sermon's gone. They lose a couple of those other receivers that aren't Chris Olave. They lose a ton on defense. I think Tommy Togiai being gone is gigantic for them. Obviously, you lose, I think, what, three linebackers? You lose Werner's back. Tough Borland's gone. I probably have that wrong or backwards, but Baron Browning. And I could just be wrong across the board. But I think that they lose a ton on defense. They always do, and they always reload. But you kind of saw what happens when they don't, like, fully reload defensively. Like, they took kind of a step back.
Who's going to beat them?
In the secondary.
Who's going to beat them in the Big Ten?
I'd have to look at their schedule. Here's the thing. Everyone's always like, Penn State's close. I think other teams are potentially closer. And I think Indiana absolutely has a shot. I absolutely think they do, but it depends on their crossovers, because that's the thing, is they always get really weak crossovers. And looking now, I mean, hypothetically, they play Oregon next year, and it's at Ohio Stadium though. And Oregon wasn't anything to really whatever at.
Right.
I mean, Penn State, it's the second last game of the year. It's at home, but it's the week before Michigan. So that could be interesting, especially if Penn State gathers some steam. But no, you're right. Otherwise, like, I'm looking at this and, like, at Minnesota, Oregon, Tulsa, Akron, at Nebraska, Purdue, Rutgers, Michigan State, Indiana, Maryland, Penn State, and Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why they're a college football playoff team. I just think that they might be kind of more in the Clemson spot where it's kind of like, who did they play?
I get it. And number three, we have Oklahoma. This is the one we differed the most on. You had Oklahoma at one, and I had Oklahoma at five. So the average there, of course, is them at three. And I think this makes more sense.
Yeah, I was giving them a lot of credence because of the way they finished out. They've got the returning starting quarterback, and I think that they have a more of a track record of being one of those borderline elite teams. Plus, they found a defense under Alex Grinch. So I'm a lot more likely to think that Oklahoma can do some things with Spencer Rattler, who really showed some things in the latter half of the season. I think he's just going to progress from there. I think the defense is going to continue to get better. So that's why I had them at number one, because I think that when you have past results plus surging team plus returning star player at the most important position, I think that they kind of have everything that every other team doesn't have, save for one, but that one team that also has all that stuff tends to not do the most with it. So I wasn't likely to put them as number one.
So for our number one and number two, it's obviously Georgia and Alabama. I had Alabama at one, you had them at three, and then we both had Georgia at two. And so we're like, what do we do with this? And so we decided to put Georgia at one and Alabama at two. I don't think that's correct, but that's the way we're rolling with it. I think when it's all said and done, I think Alabama is the favorite to win the national championship again next year. And I think it's a season like it was two or three years ago with Georgia, where it's like, is championship or bust for them, but it's just not going to happen.
We'll see with Alabama. I have more faith in Alabama, despite the fact that they're going to be breaking out so many new pieces. Like,
we said that last year too.
but there's some inconsistency in coaching now, because what were That's they true. Really good at? Offense. And now you got Bill O'Brien coaching it, not Steve Sarkisian. So Bryce Young, I don't know what receivers they have outside of Mechie and Billingsley and whatever, but you know, you don't have Devontae Smith, you don't have Jalen Waddle.
They'll have somebody step in.
So I mean, you think, but again, like, what's Bill O'Brien's offense look like compared to Steve Sarkisian's?
Yeah.
So I was gonna put them at number one, but too many question marks, so I had to bump them down just a smidge, because just so many things that we don't know.
Yeah. And then Georgia, like, on paper, they look great. It's just, can they win when it matters most at the end? Can they, you know, they had a Is Florida here to stay in, you know, in the SEC East? Trask is leaving, you know, kind of circling back to our conversation, like all the quarterbacks are leaving college football right now. But, you know, can Georgia get back, you know, to the kings of the SEC East? And then can they beat Alabama in the SEC championship game? That's what it's going to come down to.
The answer is no, but we're putting them at number one because they still, just like they are every year, the most talented team in college football, mm-hmm. with more five stars than anybody, but with a severely overrated head coach. Now, the thing is JT Daniels is legit.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna knock him at all.
Right.
I think that he has that capability of potentially taking them to that next level because he is a true five star. And they had a true five-star in Justin Fields, and they let him just waltz right on over to Ohio State because they had Jake Fromm and whatever. But I think that this could actually change some things for them. If they can continue to play really good defense, if they can actually put together an offense that doesn't look like it's like they're running the wing T, then they've got a shot. But Georgia loves to choke in big games, so and they've been doing it for – they've been doing it since Mark Richt was the head coach, and I love Mark Richt. So I just don't see why there's nothing that is going to change my mind as to until I see it as far as Georgia getting over the hump.
Fun fact, used to live in Tallahassee when I was like two. Apparently we lived two doors down from Mark Richt when he was an assistant there. Fun fact. There you go.
And did you become best friends with him?
Apparently our families were very close at the time. I don't remember.
Well,
that's what my mother says.
Call him up. You need to call him up. Let's get him on the show.
Cool. I'll work on that. Where can people find everything that you do, man?
Well, they can find me at DisneyBlogs. Sorry, wrong one. WolverinesWire.USAToday.com or at Isaiah Hole at any social media platform.
I'm on Twitter at ZBlackerby, and you can listen to Locked On Auburn wherever you get your podcasts. Our colleagues throughout the Locked On Podcast Network will be back with you on this very podcast feed. This has been Locked On College Football.
You are Locked On College Football, your daily podcast on all things college football. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.